Today on Fast Talk, we visit with Jamie Little and Mike Joy of NASCAR on Fox.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Fast Talk. During the offseason, we have been chatting with different media members who cover NASCAR and other forms of motorsport. To this point, we have already chatted with Larry McReynolds of NASCAR on Fox, Wendy Venturini of the Performance Racing Network, and used to be Speed and ESPN. And it's always good to chat and catch up with what Wendy's going on. From the Motor Racing Network and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Dave Moody, their longtime host of their afternoon and evening show, and of course, the lead turn announcer for the Motor Racing Network. And Dave's got some incredible insight. If you get a chance, go back and listen to these shows. They're posted on the PRN website and give them a listen. We also talked with Alan Cavana. Alan works a lot of different media outlets, including MRN, PRN, TNT this past season. So he's a busy guy. Kelly Crandall, who's doing a lot of work these days for ESPN and Racer Magazine and Racer.com, and has also been one of the leading correspondents in the ongoing coverage of the NASCAR Antitrust Group. And Holly Kane from NASCAR Wire Service and many other newspapers in the past. So we appreciate all those folks for dropping in. By the way, I mentioned the lawsuit. We have not been able to cover the antitrust suit here as an ongoing event because it is an ongoing event. And if we drop in, then by the time that you hear this show, from the time we tape it, that news is already dated. But one thing that is not dated at all is the great coverage that a lot of media members are giving this trial. They are camping out in downtown Charlotte, North Carolina, and following the trial from the minute Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan and all the other luminaries show up till they leave each and every day. And they are having to cover this very old school. It's a federal court building, so no recording devices are allowed in the courtroom or the auxiliary media overflow room. Everything you do has to be done by transcriptions. Write it down, then transcribe it, and then report what happened. So we are not getting the benefit of an audio cut from Michael Jordan or Denny Hamlin or whoever happens to be testifying that day. We are having to live all of this antitrust trial through a third person perspective. So thanks to all the people that have done a really outstanding job providing coverage. I'm going to highlight a couple of folks that I think have really stepped up. And of course, that is Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi. They are using their YouTube channel effectively each and every day after the trial, spending an hour to an hour and a half dissecting everything that went on. So if you want information about this NASCAR antitrust trial, and folks, I really think whatever happens, it is going to be hugely impactful on the sport of NASCAR. There's really no way that it won't be, whether it is won by the NASCAR side or the plaintiff side of 2311 and Front Row Motorsports. It is going to have a lasting impact on the sport of NASCAR. So you may not want to follow it day by day and step by step like it's an ongoing game or a race, but it is important. You should be paying attention to what's going on. But kudos to all the great media folks and the hard work that they are doing to cover this in a very old school fashion, putting pen to paper to let us know what's going on. So about today's show, we're also going to be visiting with a couple of folks from NASCAR on Fox. Mike Joy will drop in. Mike is a font of knowledge, not only about the sport of NASCAR, but the history of the automobile, classic cars. And Mike has been a staple in NASCAR coverage now for over four decades. And it's always a treat to talk to him. I learn something every time I have a chance to chat with Mike Joy. So he's on the show with us today. And also from NASCAR on Fox, we are going to be talking with Jamie Little. Jamie is best known as a pit reporter for most of their key events, and she does a lot of feature interviews. And in the last few seasons, she has made a transition to the broadcast booth for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. So from NASCAR on Fox today, we visit with Jamie Little and Mike Joy on this edition of Fast Talk.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. That's 800-509-1741. Paid for by Term Direct.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Welcome to Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Doug Rice with you. During this offseason, we have taken the opportunity to talk with a lot of different media folks. And the star at the top of our media Christmas tree has to be Mike Joy, the anchor for Fox and one of the veterans covering this sport from a lot of different angles. Mike, first of all, thanks a lot for the gift of your time to be with us today.
Sure, Doug. Glad to just clean it up from Thanksgiving and nursing an injury from when I Clark Griswolded the house outside with lights for Christmas. The surgery Thursday and then a recovery, but my knee is, I guess it'll be good as new.
Did another, is this a ladder incident? I'm asking knowing.
It's okay. Dumber than that. The outside porch has two steps and I missed one of them in the dark.
Yep. That second one that you don't see.
Yeah.
Well, heal up quick. Okay. Again, thanks for your time while you're convalescing. We appreciate you being with us. By the way, congrats on the 2025 NMPA Myers Brothers Award. You said you had no idea.
Absolutely no. Didn't even know I was on the ballot. And yeah, that came as a complete surprise. The only inkling I got was an email from the NMPA president that said, "Are you going to be at the awards?" And I explained, no, my wife had surgery. I was going to be home taking care of her. That was it. Nothing. So, yeah, it was a complete surprise. Don't know if they intended it that way, but that's how it turned out. But I'm very grateful to all the members of the NMPA, which ever since I started in this sport has been a great organization and continues to be.
Well, congrats. Very, very well deserved. Mike, so much went on this past year. Did any one driver in the NASCAR Cup universe jump off the page for you this past season?
Certainly Denny Hamlin. I think if you look at how the season started for Denny and how it went on as he won races, taunted the fans that were not fans of his, which at that time were in the majority. And then as we got into the playoffs and things progressed, Denny Hamlin's public persona changed. His relationship with the media changed. His relationship with the fans changed. And I think with 10 laps to go in that race at Phoenix, almost everybody was pulling for Denny Hamlin, that it was time for him to be a deserving champion. And of course, circumstances dictated a different outcome. But yeah, I'd put Denny Hamlin at the top of that list, certainly.
Well, you win six races, you come within 3.5 laps of being a champion amongst everything else going on in his life. Yeah, I think he's got to be the star this year. Is there somebody that you're watching in this game now that you think, okay, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be talking about Driver X a lot in a good way?
I don't think it's going to take that long for Corey Heim and Connor Zilich to make their marks. You know, their progress to the Cup series has been quite rapid, especially if you look back to the days of when Junior Johnson would say, I want a driver who's in his, late 29s or early 30s, that had enough seasoning and experience to get to the Cup series. That's all different then, because back then drivers didn't start racing at 6 years old. They didn't have the opportunities in Bandoleros and legend cars and quarter midgets, or be able to drive late models at age 14. You know, and now it's a totally different sport. But certainly those are two young guys that are going to be on everybody's radar in the few years to come.
Well, they're on mine, that's for sure. Mike, you have been anchoring on television with CBS, TBS, all the other alphabet soups. You've been such a vital part of their race coverage, and you do it, and I mean this in the highest compliment, it seems almost effortless. You're so smooth, and you just make these transitions. Do people, the average people watching, realize everything that's going on to put you and your cohorts in the booth in that position to portray it that way?
Well, I think just as you learned in a quarter century of radio, and congrats on a great career with PRN, no, making it look and sound easy, like we're just sitting on the couch with the viewer talking about the race, that is an art, and it's one that we're very proud to deliver, all of us in the live media business, which very different from the folks that type out a column on their computer, or have to submit stories that are subject to editing and rewriting and repackaging. In live radio and TV, you only get one chance to do it, only one. So I'm reminded often of Tommy Smothers, of the Smothers Brothers, who had a great TV show back in the late 60s and continued on in stand-up comedy. Dickie was the "Mom Always Liked You Best" brother, and Tommy was the bumbling, stumbling wannabe. But Tommy Smothers also wrote most of those shows, received an Academy Award for writing, and he told me one night at dinner at Sonoma, it takes a pretty smart guy to play a dummy and do it right and get it so that it all worked. And Tommy was certainly, he was the best at it, and we miss him. But that's kind of how we approach what we do. The folks at home don't need to see the man behind the curtain and all the machinations that are going on to make sure that the right shot at the right time and the right chyron and font and the right leaderboard and everything gets on the screen, and we're able to bring it to the people at home in a way that makes sense and both inform, educate, and entertain. To put all that together in a 3.5 hour live broadcast, it's a great challenge, and it's one that I've always enjoyed, and will continue to. It's really fun when we get it right, and we all kick ourselves in the butt when we don't.
Is the essence of a good broadcast still the same as it was 25 years ago, even though you have so many more toys to play with?
Yes, our job has gotten easier and harder at the same time. Probably the best thing that ever happened for race fans, for live racing on TV and on radio, is scoring transponders in the cars. Prior to that, we only got a rundown of the top 10, maybe the top 20, every 10 laps, with the flop clock and the scoring clipboards, and each car had its own score. Now it's all available in real time. And I think the most important tool of that, and for us, it's the default in the scoring pylon, is the interval from the driver on that line to the leader. And that's vitally important because you can follow cars that are not being shown on the screen that way. And you can tell how your driver's doing, whether that interval is gaining or whether it's losing. The other thing is we don't have to do scoring rundowns on TV nearly as frequently as we used to do in the past because it's right there on the scoring pylon. So I think that's probably, along with the in-car camera, you know, the two biggest advances. But now, this last year, with TNT back, with Prime Video doing races in the Cup Series, and with CW doing the Xfinity Series, we've all had a chance to look at each other's presentation. And, you know, we're not bashful about saying, hey, you know, we like that. I think we want to try that up here on the screen. Let's see what that looks like. And we all learn from each other, and hopefully it makes all of the broadcasts better for the fans.
It's amazing, Mike. I have never paid hardly any attention at all to F1. I had some friends text me the other day, said, watch this race. It's on at a time that you're going to be up and you can watch it. So I watched the most recent one, and it was about an hour in, and I realized there's not been a commercial. And I was kind of stunned. I thought, Careful. Yeah, there's Careful. No commercial here.
And fans would love that. And as a fan, I'm sure I would too. But commercials are necessary to fund the enormous yes. rights fees that the networks pay to NASCAR and to cover the cost of production. And again, you know, some of that money goes to NASCAR too. So it's a really expensive sport to broadcast. I think golf is the only thing that's comparable as far as number of cameras and the way they're spread out around the course. So there's that. There's the cost thing, which means we have to have commercials. Now, can we change the way we present them? Yes, and we've been leaning into mm-hmm. that with side-by-side coverage under the green flag. And I think we're going to see more of that as it becomes, I believe it's the norm in IndyCar and in other series. So we're getting there. Now, not all the advertisers buy in to having all of their commercials in a side-by-side format, sharing the viewer's attention with what's on the screen. So it's a work in progress, and we're going to continue. I think the whole industry is going to continue to move in that direction, because the worst thing for the advertiser is the commercial comes up and you go to the refrigerator or go to do yeah. whatever is necessary until the race comes back on. So we're all trying to find the best way to make this work for everybody, for the network, for the viewers, for the sponsors, and make it work well. But I think what you're going to see from all of the networks, more side-by-side coverage so that nobody misses a green flag lap.
We're chatting with Mike Joy, anchor from Fox Broadcast of their NASCAR coverage. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning. And Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, talking with Mike Joy. One more question, kind of behind the TV scenes. How many people are talking to Mike Joy's ear during a broadcast? How many voices do you hear?
The way our headsets are set up, it's a headset with a boom mic. So I have interrupt on the side with the boom. So that way, I always have our producer, Chuck McDonald, if he interrupts, and he's the major voice in my ear as far as where we're going next, what do you want to see next, that kind of thing. And occasionally, our director, who will be Darren Foster this year, he will occasionally come in saying, we're going here, or battle for seventh, and cut to it. So I'm not surprised. You don't want to be surprised by quick cuts to a different battle or something different than what is being spoken about. So they're the two primary voices. Sometimes I'll hear Eric Mandia, the pit producer. I'll get Rich Gross, who's counting us to commercial, that kind of thing. But generally, it's one very calm voice, Chuck McDonald, who's talking to each of the booth talents, sometimes all at once, sometimes in turn, guiding the ship in a very calm way, much like an air traffic controller. Occasionally, there'll be somebody from the backbench, an exec producer or someone, come on and talk to us, but usually just during commercial. So again, as I say, commercial breaks, great chance to reset, work on what are we going to look at in this next segment? Who do we want to see? Who have and a chance to recheck the scoring pylon? Have we missed anybody coming up through the field? Who do we want to focus on? Where do we need to send the story next to do the best job for the folks at home?
I had the pleasure earlier this year of seeing Mike and his son Scott at the new 10 Tents Raceway right next to Charlotte Motor Speedway for some vintage car racing. First off, Mike, I don't know that I've seen you ever as happy as I saw you that day. One, your son Scott won the race, but I could just say this guy's in a happy place here right now.
Well, it is. It is, Doug. I mean, I was very much a fan of the Trans Am series back in the late 60s, early 70s. Covered a number of those races on a press pass for the college radio station. And, that's where I really, really fell in love with the sport and the possibility maybe of working in it, someday. It's when I started short track announcing as well. So Historic Trans Am is a loosely affiliated group of people who own the actual cars that raced in the series back then, have them all restored. So that when you see those cars at 10 Tenths or at Lime Rock or Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca or Sonoma, and we're going to race them all at all of those tracks this next year, that is Parnelli Jones Mustang. That is Mark Donahue's Camaro or Mark Donahue's Javelin. That was Dan Gurney's Cuda, Sam Posey's Challenger. All of those cars have been restored and preserved. And, we're guardians of history and get to exercise them and put on a show for the fans. And yeah, it's so much fun that there was also an under 2.5 liter Trans Am series. The series split in two, the 5 liter series for the Mustangs, Camaros and all, and the under 2 liter series that Scott and I now have a pair of Datsun 510s that we're going to be running at Lime Rock and Watkins and maybe some other tracks this year.
And I found out one of the things interesting about Baptism Under Fire is that nobody touches anyone else on the racetrack. That's like verboten because these cars should be in the Smithsonian.
Well, in vintage racing, vintage sports car racing is a non-contact sport. And those rules are enforced so that these cars that have been preserved stay that way. And also, so people that own the $1 million and up cars, and there are some of them in our group, are not afraid to bring their cars out on track and run them wheel to wheel, inches apart, which we do. there was, I'm not sure there still is, but there was a rule that if you had avoidable contact with a car, you could be suspended for up to a year. Ooh. You know, and that's an eternity for most race car drivers. So yeah, it's non-contact, but we do run the cars really close, run them hard, and have a great deal of fun with them.
I thoroughly enjoyed watching that show unfold. I could talk about this for a lot longer, but I do want to ask you about your other life and watching you moderate car auctions where exotic cars come off. And I've always respected your knowledge of the automobile. Give me three cars that Detroit got right that you could walk into the showroom and buy and say, yeah, this was a hit. They pretty much nailed it.
Number one, the Mustang. In April of 1964, the Ford Mustang was launched. Lee Iacocca was kind of the brains behind it. Lee Iacocca, Don Fry at Ford Motor Company. They took the Falcon, which was a very good performing but unremarkable compact car, and they put a sexy shape on it, long hood, short deck, a great marketing campaign. The Mustang was an instant hit, sold over a million cars the first year. So the 65 Mustang, which debuted at the World's Fair in April 64, that'd be number one on my list. Number two, the Plymouth Roadrunner. Plymouth was, the weak sister of the Detroit Big Three, Chevy, Ford, Plymouth. And Chevy had the SS396, Pontiac had the GTO. You know, they were selling muscle cars. And what Plymouth had was the GTX, a luxury muscle car, and nobody was buying it. And an advisor to Plymouth was Brock Yates, senior editor of Car and Driver. He had kind of a backdoor relationship with Plymouth. And he told Mr. Henderson, the head of Plymouth, Henderson says, what do we need to do to get people to buy our muscle car? He said, take everything out of it that doesn't make it go fast and find a way to sell it for under $3,000. And thus, the Roadrunner was born. Now, the name of the Roadrunner, they went to Warner Brothers to license the Roadrunner cartoon and name. And the people at Warner Brothers, well, I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we can, you know, take this is worth a lot of money. I don't know if we can just put it on a car. And the lawyer from Plymouth said, well, the Roadrunner is the state bird of New Mexico, so we're going to use the name. It's in the public domain. Now, do you want your cartoon bird on our car or not? And the rest is history. The third one may surprise you because it's not an enthusiast car, mm-hmm. but it's the Chrysler Dodge Plymouth minivan. The Dodge Caravan, Plymouth Voyager, the first minivan, again, Lee Iacocca, the father of the minivan. It was a type of conveyance that Detroit had never seen. It created a whole new class of vehicle that hit right smack in the suburbs where it was intended for families. A lot of people have them. A lot of people love them. It was a great success.
It's funny that you say that because I was aware of the other two, and I think a lot of folks, even if you're not aficionados, know the story of the Mustang. But I remember the first television ad I ever saw for the minivan with the sliding door, and my wife and I looked at each other and we were like, okay, that would be great in the driveway.
Exactly. Yep. The minivan was a huge success. And, Chrysler continues to this day to be a leader in minivans. Nobody else has come up with anything close to their stow-and-go seats that fold into the floor. All the other minivans, you have to have two people lift the seat out and get it out of there if you're going to, you know, go to Lowe's or whatever, or Menards and haul stuff. But the minivan, I think it belongs right up there. There's an early minivan in the Henry Ford Museum. That's how important to American automobiling the minivan is.
Once again, congratulations, Mike, the 2025 NMPA Myers Brothers Award winner. And it won't be that long until Mike shows back up on your television as the anchor for NASCAR on Fox at this year's running of the Daytona 500.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 18 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Welcome back to Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. And our second guest of the day is also from Fox Broadcasting. She anchors the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series coverage, and she is also often seen on pit road. Jamie Little, thanks a bunch for being with us.
Hey, Doug. It's always good to be with you. And, you know, every time I see you, I just laugh inside. Retirement Schmeierman. This guy works so much. It's unbelievable, but I'm so happy you're staying as busy as you are.
Well, I appreciate that, Jamie. I did retire from the traveling circus, and I have not regretted that a minute, but things like this show and subbing over on Sirius quite often has allowed me to stay involved. So it's really been the best of both worlds, but thanks for saying that. So you get a little bit of an off season. Is there any time when you're not engaged in this that you completely turn off your racing brain for a while?
I don't know. I mean, that's really hard to do. I tell people that covering NASCAR in particular, it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. It's just part of your everyday, you know, and with social media, it's so hard to just cut it off and escape, you know, anything that's happening because there is news coming out every single day. This driver's going here. This driver's joining this team. It's like, and literally I have an iPad right here. And every time I see a press release or news come out, I just add it to my list. So when we're going over storylines, you know, come the end of December, early January with Fox, I'm ready and on top of things because, you know, Doug, it's 3 months off between the last race of the season and the first race of the season. A lot of stuff can go to the wayside and you forget about things that happen. So I try to stay on top of it. It's hard to totally disconnect. And I love it. I love racing. I love my job. So, no, I don't really totally disconnect.
That's good to hear. By the way, we are recording this on December 2nd, so we're not going to dive into a lot of lawsuit discussion or what do we think the format's going to be, because by the time that this actually airs on your local radio station or you're listening online, those stories may have already been told. So it's going to be a little more general and I hope fun conversation. You watched a remarkable young man win a championship this year in Corey Heim, but it what we thought might be a runaway and, you know, just kind of coast to the finish was anything but, Jamie.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Watching Corey Heim and what he was able to do this year was incredible. You know, that was a season that you can only dream of. That's a season that I think us as broadcasters, we will talk about for years and years and years to come. He just has that it factor. And when you couple that with Scott Cipadelli, his crew chief, that race team, Toyota, everybody behind him, it was really something to watch. And you know, people ask, do you get tired of, you know, calling the same guy that's led every lap and he's doing this and he's winning here? And it doesn't get old because there are so many different ways to tell his story. And to see him pull it off, Doug, was great because, as you know, it comes down to that final race. What everybody's complaining about is they don't want it to come down to a final race because it's not fair for somebody like Corey. But Corey did exactly as he's done all year. They overcame. It wasn't easy, but in the end, he got the championship. And I was happy for him to see that.
I think it was remarkable that in the other junior series, so to speak, in the Xfinity series, it was almost the exact same script at the end, except the ending got flipped with Jesse Love driving off and leaving Connor Zilich.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you could get, right? It's a 50-50 shot at getting that championship. And I felt terrible for Connor Zilich. He is a once in a lifetime talent. They call him the generational talent. I think that's him. Absolutely. The guy can win anywhere. But in his rookie year, to do what he did, to win as much as he did and jump around and race all different kinds of cars like he does, he's incredible. He'll be around for a long time, but it's unfortunate because he doesn't have that championship now. And will he ever have a chance at an Xfinity title or an O'Reilly Auto Parts title? I don't know. He's moving on up. He's moving up to Cup, and I can't wait to see what he can do come Daytona.
What do you think the ceiling is for Connor Zilich? I mean, he is hyped. There's no doubt he is coming in this with a spotlight and some might say a target on him. So what's the upside to Connor Zilich heading up to Cup?
Yeah, I feel like there's a target. I would say probably more so he has more pressure on him because people expect so much of him. And there's also that contingent of people that they see a young guy, everything is going his way, he's winning all the time. They want to see him put in his place when he gets to the big leagues. You know, they don't want to see a young kid come up and beat all the veterans that have been in the Cup Series. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think for Connor to get a win this year would be huge. I wouldn't expect it from him at all. Although we do have quite a few road courses, so I think he has a great shot there, but he has to go up against Shane Van Gisbergen. So I think that he puts pressure on himself, but I don't think that he is bothered by what people say or that added pressure. He's just special like that. He's in a great place mentally.
You mentioned SVG. Ironically enough, I was going there with the next set of questions. Is he getting his due for what he did this past year? He won five NASCAR Cup Series races. I realize they were all on road courses, and I feel like he's almost been shorted some of the attention that he deserves for doing that.
Yeah, and I think that happens sometimes when you see a driver who, you know, they can only win on a road course. So people just put them in that compartment. Like, well, they're good over here, but they're not good on ovals. So until they went on an oval, he's not legit in my mind. I think there's that contingent of people. Look at Alex Palou in the IndyCar series. Won championship after championship after championship, never won on an oval, finally got it done this year. And I know, and he did it at the Indy 500 of all places. But he, you know, says to people, it doesn't bother me. It won't be the end of my career if I never win on an oval. But you know, deep down, that bothers them. You know, deep down, they want to prove that they can do it. And I think SVG is right there with them. And I don't think he's gotten enough credit for how good he is. But I also think that that will come as soon as he starts getting, you know, better on those ovals. And I feel like we saw some of that this year. But until he gets a win, I don't think he'll get that full respect that he deserves.
I'm wondering if he can win a championship without winning on an oval, if he just gets to be where he's good. Of course, I guess that depends on what the format winds up being.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I know we're all waiting impatiently to see what that format looks like, but I think it is possible to win a championship, you know, without winning on an oval for sure. It's just hard when you have the final race and it's an oval. And we know next year it's Miami Homestead, and it's going to be really hard to beat a lot of those guys that you know are going to go for the championship. It's those same select guys we're talking about year after year.
You have dual roles. A lot of times it's Friday. Sometimes it's Saturday. You're in the booth covering the trucks, and then you have to make a transition down to the pits. How is that division of work for you working?
It's great. Gosh, I feel like I haven't been on pit road in so long. It's been since the end of May, since the Indy 500, actually, since I was on pit road. But I absolutely love it. You know, being in the pits, there's nothing like it. Just being in the mix, things are developing around you. There's no script. You're right in the heat of the moment. And you could talk to any person on pit road when things are happening. And that is special. You bring those stories to the fans completely unscripted. I love it. Those relationships I've built over almost 20 years in this sport are special to me. And that's how you keep those going, is being on pit road. Now, being in the booth, I have come to really love it. It is hard. It is a completely different skill set. And I don't know about others who've gone from pit road to the booth, but I thought it would be very similar. It's not. You're a traffic control cop, and your job is to bring home what's happening, but to engage those guys that are next to you, those analysts who are often different, by the way, and make people at home enjoy the moment, escape reality and enjoy what's happening on the screen and keep them excited and motivated for what they're seeing in NASCAR. And I love it. I love both roles. And if I had to choose between one, I couldn't choose.
I've always looked at the booth, and this may be a little cliche, Humpy Wheeler always told me to avoid those, by the way, is that you're the quarterback. You're handing the ball off. You're passing the ball. And sometimes you're even calling the plays to include everyone else that's in this broadcast family.
You do. I mean, you're tossing it to break. You're bringing it back from break. You're calling what's happening on the racetrack, and you're trying to engage those guys to describe the why. You know, why is this happening? What is he feeling? What's happening next? What do you expect? Or, you know, those calls, those judgment calls come from them, and you as play-by-play, literally your voice, the whole broadcast. And that's a lot to carry, especially with racing. There's a lot going on. And we know 36 trucks on the track. You've got 40 cup cars, 38 cup cars, whatever it is, any given weekend. There's a lot going on. And it's long broadcasts. But it's so much fun, Doug. I absolutely love it. And I love the pressure. And I've just loved that role and learning it more.
We're talking with Jamie Little. She is the anchor for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series coverage on Fox, and occasionally she pops up on your television screen from pit road also. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Welcome back to Jamie Little. Jamie, once again, thanks for your time. What else are you doing besides race coverage? I know occasionally you pop up on a kennel club show or something like that. So what else is keeping Jamie busy, and what passes for the NASCAR offseason?
Yes, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. That's actually coming up the weekend. It starts the day of the Clash next year. And so hopefully I'll be there Monday and Tuesday following the Clash. Get off, you know, with a bang. We've got cars on track. We've got dogs on the ring. You know, it's all kinds of things happening starting February. But I've got my rescue pups, four of them in here right now. So spending a lot of quality time with them. And also my husband and I, we open franchises. We build franchises. We just opened a cookie business called Crave Cookies and Soda here in Indy. It's a national brand, and we're getting ready to launch a protein bar and kitchen. So that's like a healthy food option here in Indy. So I'm the chief marketing person over here. I title myself that, Doug, but that's what I do in the off season.
You also gave yourself a title in a previous interview I did with you of dog hoarder. And you just said you have four in there. What kind of puppies you got here?
I've got a pit bull. I've got a pit bull mix. I've got another pitty mix that I got in Austin, Texas during the COTA race year and a half ago. And then I have a golden retriever. They're from all over the country and different rescues as well.
So you actively promote people getting rescue animals. I think every animal I've had, save my first mini schnauzer, was a rescue to some point. How do you go about doing that? And what's the reception been to that part of Jamie Little's life?
It's been great. As you know, race fans, I think almost every race fan I meet has a dog. They have a cat, they have horses, they have some kind of animal, and they love that. They have a passion for it. And I started something back in 2017 called Shelter Surprise, where I literally will go to a small market, whether it's Bristol, Tennessee, I mean, any market. I've been in Vegas, Indy, wherever we go, wherever we race. On that Saturday, I'll carve out a couple hours and I'll go find, you know, a fully vetted shelter that we know is doing all they can and they need help. And I go there, I make a donation, I take pictures of their dogs, I promote it on social media and let people know that they're there. So since 2017, this is just me out of my pocket, I've raised over $127,000 or donated over $127,000. So I just do that on my own. I call it Shelter Surprise, and hopefully it's gotten a lot of dogs and cats adopted because that's what it's all about.
All right. Personal question. Where do your dogs sleep?
We all fight over them. My two kids, my son, once he sleeps with both pitties. We've got Austin, the one from Austin, Texas, in our bed at all times. And then Bailey snores wherever she pleases. So whether it's with my daughter or in our room.
I know I substitute on Sirius sometimes with Danielle Trotta. And if you do a show with her, you're going to hear her little dog at her feet snoring during the show.
I always hear her talk about that. It's so funny. Her little dog's under the desk. You got to love it. Keeps you happy. I wish I could show them right now, but I can't turn my camera. But yeah, they're pretty good until, you know, the mailman comes to the door and then all hell breaks loose.
So going back to professional side of Jamie Little's life, when did you get the broadcast bug? Where did that come from?
That came from my passion for racing, and it started with Supercross and motocross. So I was 17, I was in high school and didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but I knew I loved racing and I wanted to tell the stories. So I moved to LA and I knew some people in racing. I went up to a guy with an ESPN microphone and said, I want to do this. What would it take? How do I make it happen? And I started tagging along. He's like, I'm freelance here in Southern California. You can learn the ropes. I started kind of showing up on a show called RPM Tonight way back in the day on ESPN2. My hand would be in the shot. Every once in a while, you'd see like my profile shot. And I got the bug then. I knew that broadcasting was what I wanted to do. And I became a live announcer for the Supercross series, traveled around while I was going to college, and then started with ESPN. I mean, I literally, my first show on air was Rock Crawling. Then it went into Supercross, motocross, started with the IndyCar series for four wheels back in 2004, and then came over to NASCAR in 2007 with ESPN.
It's a pretty good journey. So you got the racing bug before you got the broadcast bug.
Yes, I found my calling because of something that I was passionate about. I was very lucky, and I always tell people, if there's something that excites you, that gets you out of bed in the morning, try to make a career out of it, because you never feel like you work. And I mean, 25 years now, Doug, I've been doing this, and I still love it. I still can't wait for the off season to be over so we can get to Daytona.
Good for you. That you know what? That's so refreshing to hear, because so many people go through life with that dread of getting up and going to the job. And you're one of those blessed few. And I feel like I was too, that no, let's go, let's get to it. I can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah. If you follow your passion and you do it because you love it, the money and all those other things you need in life come, but don't chase the money. You'll never be happy. That's how I've always seen it. Follow what makes you happy.
All right, you live in Indianapolis, so let me ask you a couple of IndyCar questions. What is the health of IndyCar racing right now?
I would say it's on the up and up. They had a big pickup in ratings. I think they were up 27% last year. And that was a lot to do with the marketing. You know, Fox came on. They had a vision for it. Our head boss at Fox, Eric Shanks, is from a small town in Indiana. His dream was to always have the Indy 500, so he decided to pick up the whole series. They bought into the series, and I think it got a lot of eyeballs, whether it was coming back to open wheel racing or checking it out for the first time. I think they had that last year. And I love the fact that Fox is going to do some doubleheaders. We're going to see the Craftsman Truck Series in St. Petersburg, Florida, the same weekend as IndyCar's opener. Then we're going to see them as well in Phoenix as a doubleheader. And, you know, people, I think the old way of thinking, Doug, was you can't run them together because one's going to pull fans from the other. In the world we're living in, I feel like together is better. And hopefully we're going to see that with ratings and seeing IndyCar and NASCAR together and promoted together.
And kudos to Fox. I thought one of the most brilliant things they did was both humanizing and humorous. And it was the vignettes they did on the stars that started running months before the series. But you saw them in a different light, and it played really well to folks that maybe had never heard of any of these people.
Right, and it started with Joseph Newgarden, Indy 500 winner, champion, Pato O'Ward, and then Alex Palou, who ended up being the champion. And they put in a lot of time, money, and effort into those commercials. And they ran during the Super Bowl. They ran during the whole off season. But I think that's the biggest thing. People need somebody to root for. Who do they root for? Well, it usually comes down to whoever wins. Or for others, it comes down to somebody that they relate to them, you know, something that's relatable about that driver is who they root for. So showing their personality, showing them without a helmet is key. And I think we've done that in NASCAR for years and years and years, but we could do a better job of it, especially with the young guys. We've had so many of our superstars move on. So how do you get that next generation of fan? You have to promote those drivers so they have someone to root for.
It does feel like the Indy 500 has regained all of its luster. I know there was a time there maybe shortly after the split and when it was the IRL that it kind of dipped. But from what I see now on the coverage, there's not a seat to be had there.
Yes, it was unbelievable to be back. I covered that race for 11 years. And then when I went to Fox and ESPN was done with NASCAR, I was gone for 10 years. This year I got to come back. It was like full circle. There wasn't a seat to be had. It was absolutely packed. I haven't sat in race traffic like that in years. And we got over 7 million viewers watching. That was a huge rating, the number one watch motorsport in America this year. And I think all signs point to it's back, and it felt back. And hopefully we continue to grow on that, because that is a national treasure. That race is something that people from all over the world can celebrate and look forward to.
I'll admit, I didn't get it. I went up there and covered a lot of brickyards, and I had admiration for the track and the history. And finally, in 2016, I got to go up and work the 500 in the morning and the 600 in the afternoon. And then all of a sudden, I got it. I got everything about it, the chill bumps, the back home again in Indiana, the Purdue marching band, and everything that goes with it. And I thought, if you're a sports fan, you need to get to this event at least once.
Yes, when the cannon goes off at 6 a.m., the sun is just starting to rise. It's special. I mean, like you said, you have to be there to feel the Indy 500. It's different than any other race that'll be there. Just like, you know, for Daytona, I would say showing up the morning of the race, it's just special. You know, it's a bigger race than all the others. It's the Super Bowl for NASCAR. It's just different, and it's worth checking out, even if you're not a race fan.
Yeah, even if you're just a fan of experience and experiential things, you need to check out the Indy 500. If folks want to follow you on social media, Jamie, where do they need to go?
Yeah, Jamie at Jamie Little TV on Instagram and X. Instagram, I'm a little more active. It's more fun to post pictures, especially during the off season as I'm looking at 4 inches of snow out my window.
I'm officially jealous, by the way. We used to get snow in North Carolina. It seems like in the last 15 years, that's a non-event. Jamie, it's always fun to catch up with you. I admire what you do on television, and I appreciate what you do for our furry friends, and it's just great to be chatting with you.
Always good to see you and chat with you, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Jamie Little from Fox Sports.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Certainly hope you enjoyed this edition of Fast Talk as we chatted with a couple of folks that I've gotten to know pretty well over the years, and that is Mike Joy, the lead anchor on Fox. Mike's also been the lead anchor on TNT. He was CBS's anchor, and he has made some of the most incredible calls in the history of NASCAR, including Dale Earnhardt's win in the 1998 Daytona 500. So always great to talk to Mike Joy. Appreciate his insight on all parts of the sport. And Jamie Little. Jamie is super busy, and I'm a big fan of Jamie, not just because of the work she does on television, but the fact that she is a huge animal lover and dedicates so much of her life to canine rescue projects. Way to go, Jamie. Really, really proud of you. By the way, if you want to submit a name and say, Doug, track down this media person and see if you can get them to come on the show, I'd love to hear from them. Just do so. You can reach out to me on X, formerly Twitter, at Riceman61, and say, I would like to hear from this person that does whatever in the world of coverage for NASCAR. It does not have to be radio or television. If it's a print writer or a columnist or a YouTube expert, let me know at Riceman61, and we'll try our best to track those folks down and get them on the show. Next week, a couple of great broadcasters, at least in my mind, Kim Kuhn in the pits for NBC. She was also a staple for a long time on the Motor Racing Network, and Kim is very good, very talented, and I think we've just started to see the escalation of her broadcast career come into play. And Adam Alexander. Adam was super busy this year as he made the transition over to the full-time coverage of the Xfinity Series. They did all of those races on the CW. And then, of course, he had a lot of duties as far as covering races for other broadcast networks this year on the Cup side. So Adam Alexander and Kim Kuhn join us right here next week on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.